Celebrated for the year 2013, when the United States of America will officially become 237 years old. Really just a drop in the bucket compared to so many of these other countries that have been around for thousands of years. It is truly the American experiment, and there are plenty of odd paranormal things that have happened that have occurred at just critical moments to critical people at critical places that have almost given even hardcore historians a sense that there is some divine providence at work here in helping the United States succeed. Before we get back to that, let me just tell you, it's a fun time because we are going to be partying soon, but also this is the time of year when the storm season is about to get really nasty and hit us very hard and fast. So this is the perfect time for you to get yourself a Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. It is the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price. Okay, you can get one of these for around $1,500, and it will produce 1,800 watts of electricity. It never runs out of fuel. You don't have to worry about that. It's quiet. It's clean. It's motionless. There are no moving parts. And it takes a while to get these things out, so put your order in right now. There's even a payment plan to make it easy for you. But don't take my word for it. Go check out the website, sunshinesimple.com, sunshinesimple.com, and you'll see why that I feel so much more confident and at ease because I have the Sunshine Simple right here in Puerto Rico, and I don't have to worry about these hurricanes that may come through, wiping out the power for a long time. I'll be okay. And also, when you have the Sunshine Simple, keep in mind it's portable. Okay, you can toss it into your car. I mean, the whole system weighs less than 100 pounds and breaks down. So I was telling you before the break about George Washington and his sort of interesting ability to be protected, if you will. I don't know if it's an ability, but it's his interesting position so that it seemed as if he were protected, even though it was out of his control. You know, how do you stop a bullet from hitting you when you're on the front lines of a battle where men are being mowed down in agony all around you? Well, now let's fast forward, and let's just look at what happened to our country during the War of 1812. Now, the War of 1812, of course, was a military conflict between the United States and the British Empire, and their Indian allies. And it really was about resolving a lot of the issues which remained after the Revolutionary War. The U.S. declared war in 1812 for several reasons, including trade restrictions brought about by Britain's continuing war with France, the impressment of American merchant sailors into the Royal Navy, British support of American Indian tribes against American expansion, outrage over insults to national honor after humiliations on the high seas, all kinds of sort of, you know, complicated issues culminated in the War of 1812. And the British had just been biding their time because, you know, they were gritting their teeth over losing the colonies, and they were damn determined to come back here and take the U.S. again. And it sure looked like they were going to do it, because the British invaded — this is when James Madison was president — and they were having enormous success. The British pressed their way into Washington, D.C., and in fact, one evening, President Madison was in the White House. A really nice grand meal had been prepared for him, when all of a sudden he heard the booms and the explosions and saw the fire and realized he had to get the heck out of there. So he jumped on a horse and hightailed it out of the White House. And it was a good decision for him, because right after that, the White House was taken. Literally within an hour or two, a bunch of British commanders stormed into the White House, and they were delighted to see the dinner that had been prepared for the president. And they intended to burn the White House, but first they decided they would sit down and enjoy his meal. And that's exactly what they did. They sat down in the White House. Now, I mean, imagine this, okay? A bunch of British commanders have stormed the White House. They're going to burn it down, but first they decide to sit down, break open some nice bottles of wine, toast each other, and enjoy a good meal before they set the White House on fire, which is exactly what they did. So all of Washington, D.C. was burning up. The White House is in flames. And at this point, it looks like the war is over, okay? It looks like the British have won. And then something so weird happened. Something so unique, if you look back over the past 237 years, happened that particular evening. A gigantic hurricane hit Washington, D.C. directly. It dumped an enormous amount of rain to put out all the fires around D.C., and it turned over all of the British ships that were sitting out in the sea and wiped out their entire navy. Tornadoes were ripping through Washington, D.C. that were devastating all of the British fronts. I mean, it was truly like something out of the Bible. Some kind of, you know, biblical force had just bombarded Washington, D.C. And the weird thing is, it's like that was the unholy moment when these British commanders desecrated the White House. You know, when they sat down and ate his meal and set the White House on fire, that's when Mother Nature, that's when the powers of Providence said, uh-uh. And the storm hit, tornadoes go through, destroys the whole thing, and that actually did end the War of 1812 for all practical purposes, and that gave the Americans the edge they needed to regain their footing and to take the country back. Something, once again, totally out of the control of humans. As we go through this list of odd things related to the sort of patriotic mindset, and we look at what the 4th of July means, as if there's any doubt that the birth of this country may have had a mystical connection to not just the universe, but also the humans, the founders who were alive at that time and working, aside from George Washington, the most significant founding father presidents were certainly John Adams, our second president, and Thomas Jefferson, our third president. And both of them died in their homes as old men on July 4th of 1826, the exact same day. As a matter of fact, the last words of John Adams were, "Jefferson survives." But Adams had no way of knowing that hours before that, Jefferson had died at Monticello. So these two founding fathers, you know, Jefferson being the author of the Declaration of Independence, they died on the 4th of July, 1826. And also, 5 years later, exactly 5 years later, on July 4th of 1831, our fifth president, James Monroe, died. So that makes three U.S. presidents who all died on the 4th of July. As a side note, one of our presidents, Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president, was born on the 4th of July of 1872. What are the chances? We've had 40-some presidents, and three have died on the 4th, one was born on the 4th. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the mystical connection between the U.S., the founders, and maybe it's time we get into Freemasonry and this thing called the New World Order. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Celebrated for the year 2013, when the United States of America will officially become 237 years old. Really just a drop in the bucket compared to so many of these other countries that have been around for thousands of years. It is truly the American experiment, and there are plenty of odd paranormal things that have happened that have occurred at just critical moments to critical people at critical places that have almost given even hardcore historians a sense that there is some divine providence at work here in helping the United States succeed. Before we get back to that, let me just tell you, it's a fun time because we are going to be partying soon, but also this is the time of year when the storm season is about to get really nasty and hit us very hard and fast. So this is the perfect time for you to get yourself a Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. It is the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price. Okay, you can get one of these for around $1,500, and it will produce 1,800 watts of electricity. It never runs out of fuel. You don't have to worry about that. It's quiet. It's clean. It's motionless. There are no moving parts. And it takes a while to get these things out, so put your order in right now. There's even a payment plan to make it easy for you. But don't take my word for it. Go check out the website, sunshinesimple.com, sunshinesimple.com, and you'll see why that I feel so much more confident and at ease because I have the Sunshine Simple right here in Puerto Rico, and I don't have to worry about these hurricanes that may come through, wiping out the power for a long time. I'll be okay. And also, when you have the Sunshine Simple, keep in mind it's portable. Okay, you can toss it into your car. I mean, the whole system weighs less than 100 pounds and breaks down. So I was telling you before the break about George Washington and his sort of interesting ability to be protected, if you will. I don't know if it's an ability, but it's his interesting position so that it seemed as if he were protected, even though it was out of his control. You know, how do you stop a bullet from hitting you when you're on the front lines of a battle where men are being mowed down in agony all around you? Well, now let's fast forward, and let's just look at what happened to our country during the War of 1812. Now, the War of 1812, of course, was a military conflict between the United States and the British Empire and their Indian allies. And it really was about resolving a lot of the issues which remained after the Revolutionary War. The U.S. declared war in 1812 for several reasons, including trade restrictions brought about by Britain's continuing war with France, the impressment of American merchant sailors into the Royal Navy, British support of American Indian tribes against American expansion, outrage over insults to national honor after humiliations on the high seas. All kinds of sort of, you know, complicated issues culminated in the War of 1812. And the British had just been biding their time because, you know, they were gritting their teeth over losing the colonies, and they were damn determined to come back here and take the U.S. again. And it sure looked like they were going to do it because the British invaded. This is when James Madison was president. And they were having enormous success. The British pressed their way into Washington, D.C., and in fact, one evening, President Madison was in the White House. A really nice grand meal had been prepared for him when all of a sudden he heard the booms and the explosions and saw the fire and realized he had to get the heck out of there, so he jumped on a horse and hightailed it out of the White House. And it was a good decision for him because right after that, the White House was taken. Literally within an hour or two, a bunch of British commanders stormed into the White House, and they were delighted to see the dinner that had been prepared for the president. And they intended to burn the White House, but first they decided they would sit down and enjoy his meal. And that's exactly what they did. They sat down in the White House. Now, I mean, imagine this, okay? A bunch of British commanders have stormed the White House. They're going to burn it down, but first they decide to sit down, break open some nice bottles of wine, toast each other, and enjoy a good meal before they set the White House on fire, which is exactly what they did. So all of Washington, D.C., was burning up. The White House is in flames. And at this point, it looks like the war is over. Okay, it looks like the British have won. And then something so weird happened. Something so unique, if you look back over the past 237 years, happened that particular evening. A gigantic hurricane hit Washington, D.C. directly. It dumped an enormous amount of rain to put out all the fires around D.C., and it turned over all of the British ships that were sitting out in the sea and wiped out their entire navy. Tornadoes were ripping through Washington, D.C. that were devastating all of the British fronts. I mean, it was truly like something out of the Bible. Some kind of, you know, biblical force had just bombarded Washington, D.C. And the weird thing is, it's like, that was the unholy moment when these British commanders desecrated the White House. You know, when they sat down and ate his meal and set the White House on fire, that's when Mother Nature, that's when the powers of Providence said, uh-uh. And the storm hit, tornadoes go through, destroys the whole thing, and that actually did end the War of 1812 for all practical purposes, and that gave the Americans the edge they needed to regain their footing and to take the country back. Something, once again, totally out of the control of humans. As we go through this list of odd things related to the sort of patriotic mindset, and we look at what the 4th of July means, as if there's any doubt that the birth of this country may have had a mystical connection to not just the universe, but also the humans, the founders who were alive at that time and working. Aside from George Washington, the most significant founding father presidents were certainly John Adams, our second president, and Thomas Jefferson, our third president. And both of them died in their homes as old men on July 4th of 1826, the exact same day. As a matter of fact, the last words of John Adams were, "Jefferson survives." But Adams had no way of knowing that hours before that, Jefferson had died at Monticello. So these two founding fathers, you know, Jefferson being the author of the Declaration of Independence, they died on the 4th of July, 1826. And also, 5 years later, exactly 5 years later, on July 4th of 1831, our fifth president, James Monroe, died. So that makes three U.S. presidents who all died on the 4th of July. As a side note, one of our presidents, Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president, was born on the 4th of July of 1872. What are the chances? We've had, 40-some presidents, and three have died on the 4th, one was born on the 4th. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the mystical connection between the U.S., the founders, and maybe it's time we get into Freemasonry and this thing called the New World Order. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Tailgates, fairs, and festivals, and you, sir, do not have a pair of them, if you prefer drinking from glass. Hey, Red Solo Cup is cheap and disposable. In 14 years, they are decomposable, and unlike my home, they are not foreclosable. Freddie Mac kiss my...
Woo! Red Solo Cup, I've fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now, I really love how you're easy to stack, but I really hate how you're easy to crack. Some beer runs down in front of my back. Well, that, my friends, is quite yucky. But I have to admit that the ladies get smitten, admiring how sharply my first name is written on you with a Sharpie when I get to hitting on them to help me get lucky.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
I love you,
Red Solo Cup.
What?
I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Now I've seen you in blue and I've seen you in yellow, but only you, Red, will do for this fella, because you are the Abbott into my Costello, and you are the fruit to my loom. Red Solo Cup, you're more than just plastic. You're more than amazing. You're more than fantastic. And believe me that I'm not the least bit sarcastic when I look at you and say, Red Solo Cup, you're not just a cup.
No.
You're my friend.
Friend. Lifelong.
Thank you for being my friend.
Red Solo Cup.
Ah, yes, we know plenty of those are going to be floating around over the next week as everybody parties down for the 4th of July as America soon turns 237 years old. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. And if you think that there is such a thing as magic, such a thing as intent that brings all of these manifestations together, you might want to go to joshuapwarren.com and look at the wishing machine. That's right, the wishing machine. It's hard for me to explain what the wishing machine is. You just have to watch the little video there and see why the people have bought it all over the world and why they've had such enormous success making a wish come true. It sounds crazy, I know it, but if you're listening to this program right now and you're hearing me say this, there's probably a reason. So it doesn't matter how down on your luck you may think you are, go to joshuapwarren.com, there is no period after the P, and look at the wishing machine. Now, Forrest Connor, I know you, sir, are a historian. When do you think is the only time that George Washington was recorded to have openly wept?
Wow. Did he outlive his wife?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, no.
And, you know, he lost his kids, and I think at least one or two of his sons and all that. But the only time that it has been, to my knowledge, absolutely confirmed that George Washington openly wept was when he learned that Benedict Arnold had betrayed.
Really?
Yeah. That was such an unexpected deep wound, such a surprise that Benedict Arnold would do that. Man, that says a lot about the stakes of those times. And, you know, Benedict Arnold, he later went to England and hoped everybody would accept him as some kind of hero there. But even they turned their nose up at him because nobody really likes a traitor. Nobody likes a tattletale. And he died sort of just, you know, as an outcast in poverty, which is what he deserved. Well, you know, when it comes to the idea of some greater power looking out for the founders of this country, looking out for the formation of this country, you can't deny the fact that most of the significant people involved in forming this country were Freemasons. There is some controversy over who and who was and who wasn't. And, of course, my Asheville Mystery Museum is in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. And Freemasonry is something that is frequently discussed in relationship to the strange and the paranormal. But the most straightforward factual information is that George Washington was definitely a Freemason. Benjamin Franklin was a Freemason. James Monroe was a Freemason. John Jay was a Freemason. John Hancock was a Freemason. Paul Revere was a Freemason. John Paul Jones was a Freemason. James Otis was a Freemason. Somewhere between 9 and 13 signers of the Constitution were Freemasons, depending on the source. At least 9 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. At least 33 out of 74 generals in the colonial army were Freemasons. And that is all based upon information that has been listed into rolls of lodges and specifically attended meetings. And so there are guys who may have been involved to some point or another, but maybe not as deeply as others. And then for a long time there was controversy over whether or not Pierre Lafont, the man who designed Washington, D.C., was a Freemason, and recently it has been proven that he also was a Freemason, which gives some sense of why that you have all of these sort of mystical symbols that appear in and around Washington, D.C., and within its design. Now, even though Freemasonry is based upon all of these very mysterious esoteric traditions, to become a Freemason, there is only one sort of undeniable, central, profound thing that is required. You must believe in a power higher than humans. And so all of these individuals, all of these men who formed this country, believed and took an oath that they believed in a higher power. So even if you are an atheist listening to this show, it's got to make you think for a second, does the mere belief that there's a higher power, the faith that there is a higher power, somehow help these profound things manifest? I definitely feel that it is connected to the sense that they were being protected, that they were being guided, and that they were on what they believed was a noble mission. And if you want to know what this thing called the New World Order is, and if you're one of these people who's paranoid and you're saying, oh, I don't want the New World Order to take over, guess what? You're living in the New World Order. It says so right there on your money. It's right in front of your face every day. And when you look at your money, and you see this unfinished pyramid there with the all-seeing eye, it's basically telling you that there is some intelligent force that's looking over you and your transactions and everything that you do and everything that you put your resources behind and your effort behind, and that there is an unfinished project here. Now, if you consider that the idea of the New World Order is something that all these guys were pushing for, and what they ultimately wanted to create was a free society like the society that we live in, which has been now replicated many, many times over the world, but the United States pioneered this concept, then you have to ask yourself, what's next? When does that New World Order go too far? Because the same men who believed that a higher power would help create a society of freedom wrote these documents that also said that privacy was important and that the ability to have freedom of speech was important and that due process was important. You know, these same people believed that freedom could only exist if you were granted privacy. Now, 237 years later, we see how everything has shifted a little bit, maybe too far, or is tending to shift too far in the direction of lack of privacy due to technology. And that's, of course, you know, one of the big topics on everybody's mind right now. It's been, of course, one of the things that we talked about on the show last week. How could the founders have envisioned this? And is this what they would have wanted? Of course not. I mean, I believe what it was Benjamin Franklin or somebody said something like, you know, if you give up your privacy for security, you know, you will have neither or something along those lines. Bearing that in mind, here I see this story that is a little bit chilling about this journalist who recently died named Michael Hastings. He was an AP journalist. And he sent out a bunch of messages, a bunch of emails to his colleagues saying that he was being investigated by federal authorities for a story that he was working on, and that he needed to go off the radar for a little while. And the next day, he died in a fiery car crash. And a lot of people got a chill from that, because, you know, the guy says, I'm afraid, you know, that somebody's after me, and he dies in a car crash. And then, at the same time, a story comes out about this DARPA computer expert. Now, DARPA does all the defense research for the government, and a DARPA computer expert has gone on the record saying that they have the ability to easily hack into car computer systems and remotely control them, even through something as simple as Bluetooth and smartphone technology. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you a little bit more about that and some other stories that have been hitting the news that make you have to worry a little bit about, you know, I don't want to make anybody paranoid here, but consider that we were given a free society, but it's our responsibility to keep that free society in check, okay? I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Tonight, Speaking of Strange, coming up next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour, and that's when we dig into more outrageous and controversial news. Some of it's more seedy and sordid, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So bear that in mind. You may or may not want to listen to the hour of the show coming up next hour. But we are talking right now about, well, the government and whether or not this divine sort of system that we may have been handed here is potentially going too far, invading privacy and manipulating our technological systems. And it's true. I'll go ahead and give a name out, which is something I don't often do. Dr. Kathleen Fisher, a DARPA program manager, has gone public talking about the ability to hack into car computer systems. And DARPA, by the way, is short for the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And they are responsible for the development of new technologies for use by the military. And the ability of them to get full remote control of all modern U.S. market cars has been proven, okay? It has been proven. And that is quite chilling if you consider that this journalist I was talking about, Michael Hastings, said, you know, right there in L.A., I'm on to some kind of a story, and I need to lay low because I'm worried. And next day he dies in an extremely high-powered, fiery car accident. From Washington, D.C., here's another story. The National Security Agency, the NSA, has backdoor access to all Windows software since the release of Windows 95. And they, therefore, are able to basically go into just about, you know, any computer system and manipulate it, is what that more or less means. Next story, Big Brother alert. And this, I know this sounds unbelievable. This comes from the Washington Times, though. Cameras in cable boxes can monitor TV viewers. I know this sounds nuts. It hardly gets more Orwellian than this. New technology is allowing cable companies to peer directly into television watchers' homes and monitor viewing habits and reactions to product advertisements. The technology will come via the cable box, and at least one lawmaker on Capitol Hill is standing in opposition. There is a Massachusetts Democratic representative who's introducing a bill trying to restrict that. And he believes, obviously, this is a problem when the cable company can see you watching TV. That's just insane. Next story, the new Xbox will not let you play unless it can spy on you. People throughout the world could soon be voluntarily outfitting their homes with indefinitely active cameras, eye facial recognition, infrared sensors and microphones if they purchase Microsoft's new Xbox video game console. Supposedly, allegedly, this thing has a new high-fidelity Kinect sensor, and it will not be able to operate unless this thing is active, granting Xbox eerie Big Brother powers. That basically, it's got microphones and cameras capable of determining how many people are in the room, what those people are doing, and this consumer detection device will be transmitting all this information back for their marketing purposes. Now, mind you, people will voluntarily take this into their homes because they want to be able to play the Xbox. And here's the last story I'll read to you before we have to wrap up this hour. This is from ABC News. Just to give you an idea of how vulnerable your technology can make you, cell phone stalkers are harassing a Washington family. It says, who do you call when your cell phone has been turned into a spying device, tracking your family's every move and giving an anonymous stalker a view into your private life? Three Washington State families say it's happened to them, and they feel like they're living in a horror movie. They say that at all hours of the night, calls come in threatening to kill their children, their pets, and their grandparents. Voicemails arrive. The caller knows what they're wearing, what they're doing. And they have reported this over and over, but whenever there is tracing done, it appears that it comes back to them as though they are the ones sending it. Whoever is accessing their cell phones is able to take photographs remotely, track their position, and this has all been authorized in terms of opinions by experts who are saying, yes, the government and anybody else who taps into their system can monitor you 24/7, tell what you're doing, and harass you. Again, folks, we've been given a great system here, but it's up to us to make sure it doesn't go too far. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.